Hey guys, thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to our previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in the App Store for your iPhone or Android device. Or you can join us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
I have come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. I have come to set you free from the very things that have taken you captive in Jesus' name. Anybody excited about the fact that you can be free from no matter what it is that you've been experiencing? He wants to set you free from those things. But today, I want to go a little bit deeper in this sermon series. And today is going to be a little bit heavier in terms of the topic, but it's still going to be freeing, I believe. Today, I want to kind of dive in a little bit deeper and talk about something that oftentimes is not typically talked about from the pulpit and talked about oftentimes in the church, and it doesn't really get a whole lot of attention. And unfortunately, because that happens, people like you and me, we sometimes will ultimately stay in bondage. I want to read this scripture. This is the theme verse for this sermon series, Breaking Free. It comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Here's what it says. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Can you guys turn the lights up just a little bit? It's a little bit dark in here. I need to see everybody's beautiful faces in Jesus' name. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. He says earlier that the weapons that we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we talked about how a stronghold at the core of it is a lie. It is something that keeps you in bondage. And many of us have different strongholds that we've been trying to break free of. Then Paul says we demolish arguments and every pretension. That's where we get the word pretend. In other words, it's fake. Something that tries to exalt itself up against the knowledge or the truth of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Here is my heart cry for you this sermon series. That you would begin to take captive the very thing that has taken captive of you. Let me say it again because y'all looking at me like y'all don't want freedom. That you would begin to take captive of the very things that have been taking captive of your life. That anything that exalts itself higher than the truth of God, that you would take captive that thing and make it obedient to Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. That you would no longer live in a place of bondage, in a place of restriction, but that you would live in a place of freedom. Which leads me to part two of this message series that I want to talk about today that I'm calling simply overcoming addictions. Not just battling addictions, but overcoming them. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you because you are good, and we thank you for the freedom that you have promised us in Jesus. And I pray that today, Lord, no matter what it is that we are wrestling with and dealing with in this moment, I pray, Father, that we would begin to hear your truth, and that as your word says, that as we hear your truth and know your truth, that it would set us free. And I pray, Father, against anything right now that the enemy is trying to speak into our minds and into our hearts and into our souls right now that would disrupt and get in the way of what it is that you want us to receive. And I pray that today, that signs, miracles, and wonders would take place in our lives, that we would see chains broken, that we would see curses fall and be broken, that we would see strongholds that are over our lives, that are over our marriage, that are over our children, that are over our finances, that are over our bodies, that they would be broken. In Jesus' name, amen. Overcoming addictions. As we think about this word addiction, I found this very strong definition from an author. He says this, that an addiction is a persistent behavioral pattern marked by physical and or psychological dependency that causes significant disruption and negatively impacts the quality of life of an organism. that addictions are frequently linked to substance abuse, and particularly psychoactive drugs such as narcotics and stimulants and sedatives, among others. And let me put it in a very simplistic Pastor Edwin version. That an addiction is something that you believe you can't live without. It is something that has control over you. And when I think about the word addiction, when I think about this topic of addiction, many times when we think about addiction, we typically go to the things that are most common. So we'll talk about substance, or we'll talk about alcohol, or we'll talk about other things. But what I've come to realize is that you can be addicted to a plethora of things. Like, some of us may wrestle with an addiction to television. You just can't put it down. Some of us are addicted to Netflix. Just binge watch everything on Netflix. You don't watch Bird Box like 5 times already. Right? Some of us are addicted to food. Some of us wrestle with addiction to money. Some of us do wrestle with addiction to alcohol. Some of us wrestle with addiction to pornography. Some of us deal with addiction to social media. Some of us, our addictions is to our phones. Some of us, our addiction is to sports. Some of us, our addiction is to work. Some of us, it is to a substance. And here's the thing I want us to understand, that there are some things that we may find ourselves addicted to that are not inherently sinful or harmful. Like there's nothing necessarily sinful or harmful about food or social media or your phone, but it becomes a problem when it becomes master over you, when it becomes Lord over you. But then there are some things that we find ourselves addicted to that are absolutely sinful or harmful, whether it's pornography, whether it's profanity, whether it's lying, whatever the case may be. There are some clear-cut things, as we see in Scripture, that are things that have a stronghold over us that God just wants us to totally avoid in and of themselves. And some of us came here today battling addictions, wanting to be free. Some of us are here today and you don't even realize that you are addicted to certain things. When people try to speak it to you and begin to reveal it to you, how you know you are addicted to it more than likely is how you first respond. You become very defensive. No, I don't have a drinking problem. No, I don't have a Facebook problem. No, I don't. It's typically a clear sign that maybe it does have a hold on me. And when I think about this idea of addiction and this topic of addiction, when we look throughout the Scripture, you won't never see the word addiction, but what you do see is a principle laid out that speaks to addiction. And in Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 25, over into chapter 8, verse 1, is these powerful passages of Scripture from the Apostle Paul. He begins to share some words that are very interesting in nature, that I feel, because of the fact that he's the Apostle Paul. He is somebody who has planted all these different diverse and multi-ethnic, multi-generational churches all throughout the early time of the church in the first century context. And you would think that Paul didn't wrestle with anything. Oftentimes it's easy to think on the surface, because a person looks good, that they don't wrestle with something. That they don't deal with something, because what happens is we just learn how to dress it up real well. And because we learn how to dress it up real well, it's easy to just kind of be fooled by what we see. But beneath the surface is much more to it. And Paul writes these powerful words in Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 25. I want to read them. Here's what he says. So I discover this law. When I want to do what is good, evil is present with me. For in my inner self, I delight in God's law. But I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner, everybody say prisoner, to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? It's interesting that Paul would write these words. Earlier, before verse 21, Paul is kind of laying out this litany of this battle that he's having. And here's pretty much what he says, kind of paraphrasing it. He says, the good that I want to do, I don't end up doing. And the bad that I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. Has anybody ever wrestled with something like that? By a show of hands. That should be every single person in here. You woke up this morning and your kids were driving you crazy to get them ready for church this morning. Or you may have been on the road and you were driving, and the good that you know you should do was not to say that unkind thing about that person, but you ended up doing it anyhow. Paul says, I know all about that. Because there's times in my life where I want to do good, but somehow I end up falling and doing the very thing I said I would not do. I said I would not drink that, but then I found myself consuming it. I said I would not go to that website, but then I found myself going to. I said I would not tell that lie, but then I found myself trying to defend myself and telling the lie. I said I would not stay at that person's house past this hours, but then the next day came. Paul says, wrestling. He shows us something about addiction. That addiction is much bigger than what you see on the surface. That at the core of every addiction is, here's my first point, a struggle. And more specifically, the struggle. Why do I say that? Because notice what Paul is talking about here. He's not talking about wrestling with alcohol. He's not talking about wrestling with social media. He's not talking about wrestling with a substance. He's not talking about wrestling with a habit. He's not talking about wrestling with smoking. He doesn't name any specifics here. At the core, he talks about a spiritual struggle that is taking place on the inside of him. Here's why this is important. Because at the core of every addiction is a spiritual struggle. What you see on the surface that manifests itself in the form of an addiction is, in all actuality, it's really a spiritual struggle. This is why Paul says here, notice what he says. He says, for in my innermost being, verse 22, I delight in God's law, but I see a different law in the parts of my body. Watch what he says, waging war. Waging war. It is a struggle. It is a battle. And he's talking about this whole aspect of struggling with sinfulness, that we all have been born into sin, shaped in iniquity. This is what the Bible says in the book of Psalms. That the minute you and I are born into this world, we have a sinful nature that we are born into. And even when we come to Christ and put our faith in Christ, we do receive this new nature. But here's the reality, we are still in flesh. And we will still be tempted by different things. And the enemy knows exactly how to tempt us and where to get us, how to get us, when to get us, who to get us with, and what to get us with. And so we will always find ourselves in this battle and in this struggle. And oftentimes, sometimes the struggle now manifests itself in an addiction. Let me prove it to you that it's always spiritual. At the core of every addiction, it is always spiritual. Some of us are like, Pastor Edwin, I hear what you're saying, but that's not true. It is true. I'm going to show it to you. Here's what Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12 says. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, it is not on the surface, but rather it is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, and against the evil spiritual forces in the heavens. Here's what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 6. The battle that you are dealing with, the addiction that you may be wrestling with, that I may be wrestling with, it's spiritual in nature. It's spiritual in nature. It manifests itself physically, but at the core, it is spiritual. This struggle is spiritual. How do I know this to be true? Because you can treat a certain addiction and you can, quote unquote, be free from it, but if you have not dealt with the inward spiritual struggle, what happens is you may treat that addiction, but then in another addiction, it will manifest itself in a whole new way. I hope this is making sense. I don't want you just to treat symptoms. Treating symptoms does not treat the source. The source of my addiction, the source of my wrestling is not physical. Now, there's nothing wrong with treating that, and you should, but at the core, it's spiritual. And if you never deal with the spiritual battle, you will always be defeated in life when it comes to the physical. And Paul is saying that what I'm wrestling with is it's spiritual in nature. There is some spiritual battle that I am dealing with. It is a struggle. And until you treat the source of the struggle, the symptoms will always manifest itself in some way. It's like treating a sickness. That you can be sick and you can treat the runny nose, but if you have not treated the source of it, it will come out in some other way. And God is not into just patch jobs when it comes to your healing. God wants to treat the source of the dysfunction that's causing you not to be free and healed in his name. He wants to get beneath the surface. See, everybody else treats the surface. God treats the source. And if you want to break free of addictions, you got to begin with acknowledging the fact that this is so much bigger than the physical. Yeah, I got to deal with the physical, but this goes beneath the surface. Here's what Paul would even say in verse 24. He says, what a wretched man I am. What a wretched man I am. And this sounds crazy, but I love the fact that he says this. Because you know what he's doing? He's being honest about his struggle. He's been honest about it. He's being honest about the thing that he's dealing with. And let me help you understand something. Until you're honest about your struggle, until you're honest about your addiction, you will never experience healing. As long as you continue to act like and gloss over the fact that it's not a big deal and that it's not an issue, even though it's destroying your family, even though it's destroying your health, even though it's destroying your marriage, even though it's destroying relationships with kids, even though it's impacting how you view things, until you begin to acknowledge the fact that we have a problem, that I have a problem, that I'm wrestling with something, that I need some help with, until you get to that place where you can be honest about it, you will continue to stay in bondage. But Paul here shows us a better way. He shows us to be honest about it. You have to acknowledge the fact that you got an issue. And here's what I want us to understand. The person beside you got an issue. I don't know why we believe the lie of the enemy that, oh, nobody else must be struggling with this except me. That is the biggest lie that the enemy would want us to believe. That I'm the only one who struggles with this. That I am the only one who deals with this. That is such a lie from the pit of hell, because the Bible says that no temptation has come towards you that is not common to people. In other words, there is no single thing, no single temptation, no single sin, no single addiction that you wrestle with that nobody else has not wrestled with already. No. The struggle is real. And it's so real that everybody else has dealt with it. Your struggle just may be different than mine, but at the core, it is the same. Your struggle may be with this, and my struggle may be with that. But here's the reality. We all struggling. All of us. And the only people who would say you're not struggling are the proud and self-righteous who say, I'm all good. I have no proclivities. I can see it on some of our faces right now. Some of y'all looking at me with the face like, Pastor, that's not me. I don't deal with this. I don't have any issues. You don't have any issues that you told people. Jesus knows all about your struggles. He knows about the skeletons, not even skeletons, live bodies that are in your closet right now that you've been trying to hide, but yet they have been banging the door in your heart. He knows about the thing that you do when nobody else is looking. He knows about the struggle that you have going on. And by all means, don't interpret what I'm saying that because he knows about it that he's trying to condemn you. No. My point is that you can't hide it as well as you think you do. And the more you continue to hide what is hindering you, you will always stay in bondage. But it's time today for us to be honest about it. Notice the second part of what he says in verse 24 after he says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Some of you came today feeling hopeless. Who will save me? I've tried to beat this addiction. I've gone to this class. I've gone over here. And I have not been able to break it yet. I've been dealing with this for years. I've tried everything. I said I wouldn't do it anymore, but I still find myself falling to it. Some of us have believed the lie of the enemy where he's preached to you, because you've struggled with this in the past, you'll always struggle with this. You know the reason why you'll struggle with this is because your daddy struggles with it. It's hereditary. It runs in your family, so it's going to run through you too. You begin to believe these lies. Your grandfather was an addict, so you'll be an addict. They shot up their veins, so you're going to eventually do the same. We believe these lies of the enemy that says that because of what happened yesterday, that you won't be able to move forward today. And some of us have come here hopeless. And we've come here today like, man, I've tried everything. And it's ruining my life. It's ruining this. It's staining this. And I genuinely want to break free. I believe that at the core of all of us in here who know we wrestle with these addictions and these struggles, I believe all of us who are honest about it say, I want to break free of this. Because I see the damage that it is causing, how it's ruined relationships, how it's caused me to miss out on walking in the purpose of God for my life, how it's begun to impact everything. It's impacted my psyche. It's impacted how I view people. It's impacted how I treat people, how I talk to people. And this addiction has gotten so out of control. What I thought was just something very, very small and I thought I had control over now has ballooned to something that I don't have any control over anymore. That whenever it taps the door of my heart, I always open it up. That whenever that person calls, I always open it up. That whenever the substance calls, I always open it up. But when anxiety steps in, I seem to always run over here to deal with it this way. And I thought I beat it because some time had elapsed where I hadn't engaged with it. And I thought that I was done with it because it had left some time. But now it's come back with a vengeance. And I'm tired. Tired of dealing with it. Some of you came here exhausted. Tired. Frustrated. And people have been talking bad about you and been calling you this and calling you that. And the enemy's been labeling you with all these different things. And you're like, man, I'm just exhausted. And I want freedom. And I want there to be some change in my life. And you've been saying what Paul says here. Who will rescue me from this? Who will set me free? Is there a solution? Can anybody save me from this? And I want you to know that the answer is yes. I want you to see what Paul gives us next. That he doesn't just talk about the struggle, but now he secondly, most importantly, talks about the solution. When you look at verse 25, notice what he says. It's like he asked this rhetorical question. Who can rescue me from this body of death? Who can rescue me from this struggle? Who can wrestle me from this addiction to alcohol, to this addiction to this substance, to this addiction to this habit, to this addiction to this mentality, to this habit? Who can rescue me? Can anybody? And then he says this, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord that I can experience freedom, that no matter the struggle that I am dealing with, no matter the addiction that hampers me right now, through Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who came from heaven to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, raised from the grave with all power in his hands, through Jesus Christ, I can be free. Through Jesus, I can experience freedom. He says the solution to every struggle, to every addiction, is not a 12-step process, and those are fine. It is not a mentality that says, I'm going to do better. That's fine, but it doesn't work. It's not saying that I'm going to avoid this. That's fine, but at the end, it does not work. He says the solution to every struggle, to every addiction, is the person, the work, and the power of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. That only do we experience freedom through Jesus. I want you to know something, that God created you and I to be dependent. But he did not create you and I to be dependent on a substance, to be dependent on a person, to be dependent on a thing, to not to be dependent on money. He created us to be dependent on him. Let me say it like this, that all addiction is a misplaced dependency. It's where I have put more of my faith and trust in a substance and a habit and a mentality than I have in Jesus himself. It is misplaced dependency. You don't have an addiction problem. You have a dependency problem. I don't want you to believe the lie of the enemy anymore. Where you begin to believe the lie and the enemy telling you that you are an alcoholic. No, you are not. You are somebody who has been made in the image and likeness of God. You may struggle with it. You may battle with it. But that is not who you are. It is time for you to stop wearing the labels and the lies of the enemy and to begin to wear the truth of Jesus Christ. That is not who you are. But Pastor, I wrestle with this addiction. You may wrestle with it, but that is not who you are. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. There is nothing that is too impossible and too great for God. You are not the sum total of your addictions and your habits. You are somebody who is fearfully and wonderfully made. You are somebody who has a purpose. You are somebody who has the power of the living God living on the inside of them, who can conquer the addiction, not in your own strength, but in the power of Christ. That is who you are. No longer will you believe the lies of the enemy that says, this is what you did, and because this is what you did, this is who you are. Freedom happens when we depend on Jesus. And I like what Paul says next in verse 1 of chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, I have come to set you free from your struggle. I have come to set you free from your addiction. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It is time for you in 2019 to stop wearing these lies that you brought to yourself and that you subjected to yourself years ago. It is time for you to be free. It is time for you to walk in power. It is time for you to walk in victory. You no longer have to walk in the chains of the enemy. I am not what I did. I am loved by God. I am a child of God. When I found myself personally wrestling with struggles or battling a particular addiction, one of the things that began to set me free, I heard a sermon being preached by a pastor that I love, and he's always on point for that matter. But he shared, when you find yourself battling addictions and struggles, you need to begin to remind yourself of who you are in Christ Jesus. You need to get a scripture and a truth and begin to declare that over your life. I'll tell you what mine was. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that Jesus Christ, that God sent him to be a sin offering for us so that through him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I begin to tell myself that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the more I begin to preach this truth to my heart, chains begin to fall. And some of y'all are looking at me like, this does not make any sense and this is not true. That's because you have a trust problem. But if you begin to believe the truth of God, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you will preach the truth of Jesus to your heart, you will walk in freedom. And for too long, you've been preaching lies to yourself. Been saying, I'm never going to get over this. I'm never going to kick this addiction. You never will, as long as you preach that to yourself. That they will never get free. They never will, as long as you preach that lie to them. But when you begin to preach Jesus Christ, and when you begin to preach the fact that he has all power in his hands, you begin to experience freedom. He is the source of your freedom. Let me give us some practical, because I know some of us in here who are very type A people. You're like, Pastor, that's very spiritual and I love it. That's principle, but I need, how do I apply this? Let me give you a few practical things when it comes to trusting in Jesus and relying on his power. Here's what I want you, number one, to do. When you find yourself dealing with addiction and dealing with the struggle, here's what I want you to do. Say no to it. But Pastor, I've tried to say no to it a million times. Hasn't happened. You try to say no to it in your own strength and power. I want you to say no to it according to the power of Jesus Christ. But Pastor, I don't know if that works. If Jesus had all power to get up from death in 3 days, do you not think that he can't break the addiction that is over your life right now? He came back from death after 3 days. Do you not think that he can break the stronghold over your life? Say no to it. Say no. Say no to the struggle. Say no to it. Say, I am not going to give into this. By the power of God, I will stand firm. I will resist the devil. The Bible says when you resist him, he will flee. I will say no to it. Matter of fact, let's say it together. On the count of three, everybody say no. One, two, three. No. I want you to get that in your heart this week, starting now, that you would say no to this. Why is it so powerful? Because the Bible tells us to say no. Here's what Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14 says. For the grace of God, in other words, the power of God, the love of God, the strength of God, has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness. In other words, to set us free and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Say no to your struggle. Say no. That when the enemy comes knocking on the door of your heart, hey, you know you want that. Hey, you know you want them. Say no. Say no. What is one of the things that we're doing as a church to help you say no? To help you bring your flesh under the submission and trust in the truth of God? This is why we're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting. Because fasting is one of the greatest spiritual disciplines that you can implement into your life. And I'm not just talking about some small fast. I'm talking about fasting from things that you think you can't live without. And when you begin to fast for 21 days, for 21 days, you're saying no, 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 no to Chick-fil-A, no to ice cream, no to TV, no to Facebook, no to Instagram. But that's hard. I didn't say it would be easy, but I say no to it because I say that it does not have control over my life. There was only one who was Lord over my life, and it is not an alcohol, it is not substance, it is not a habit, it is Jesus Christ. And only when he says move do I move. I say no to those things. Make sure that things don't have a master over you. There's nothing wrong with things like social media. There's nothing wrong with things like TV. But when it begins to have a control over you, now it has. That's called idolatry. That means you have set it in a place that only Jesus Christ himself should occupy. He says say no to that. I'm saying no to these things. And I want you to know something practical. Whatever you starve dies. The more you say no by the power of God to those things in your life that have a stronghold over your life, you will notice that little by little, it dies. But whatever you feed thrives. So the more you say yes to that, the easier it's going to be to say yes the next time. And the more you say yes to that little thing, you know what it is, I know what it is, whatever it is, the more you say yes and yes and yes, you will find yourself in an uphill battle. Say no to it. Here's the second practical thing I want to give you. Share your struggle. This is the one that nobody will say amen about. No. Share your struggle. And let me cut down the spiritual lie that some of us are concocting in our hearts right now. I shared it with Jesus. That's not enough. It's not enough. But Pastor, you just told me to give it to Jesus. I did. He told you to give it to him, but he also told you to be open with his people about it. This is why James 5:16 says this. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Confess your sins to one another. In scripture, it tells us to confess our sins to God so that way we can receive forgiveness. But then it tells us to also confess our sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Maybe some of the reason why we haven't experienced the freedom yet is because we don't tell anybody about what we're in bondage to. You haven't shared your struggle with anybody. And I want you to know something, that the longer you conceal your addiction, the longer you remain chained to it. You gotta share it. You gotta be open about it. And I want you to know, it's okay to not be okay. I don't know why we think that if something is going on with me, if I have an issue, if I have an addiction, that I can't tell anybody about it. That is a lie from the enemy. He knows that whatever you keep in darkness will never get healed. Jesus tells you, bring it out into the light so that way we can pray over it, cover it, and you can be set free of it. And some of us have been hiding the fact that we have these struggles and we've been holding on to them for too long. But I want you to know here at our church, it's easy for you to, and it's okay for you to be able to share your struggle, to be open and honest about it. This is why we have what we call connect groups. It's in our connect groups where you can really be open and transparent. And share it. I'm struggling with this. And here's what you'll realize. There'll be somebody else in the group who'll say, me too. You mean that there's other people who go to church like me on Sundays and they wrestle with this? Yes. Absolutely. Share your struggle through connect groups. Let me also take it a step further, because there are some addictions that manifest themselves physically that you need to take a step further when it comes to sharing. Some of us need to share them with licensed professional counselors, in particular licensed professional Christian counselors, who can give you the truth of God and also give you some practical things to help you take the next step. You need to share it. If you're the only one who knows about your addiction, you are in real trouble. And the longer you conceal it, the longer you stay chained to it. As a church, we are not a condemning people. We are a compassionate people. Where you can tell me the things that you struggle with. I'm not going to blast you for it. I'm not going to talk about it. Man, you struggle with that. What's wrong with you? You deal with that habit. What's wrong with you? No. No, where you can be open and honest and say, hey, I deal with this. Can you pray for me? Absolutely. Hey, I'm wrestling with this. I have an anger problem. I have a lust problem. I keep going to this, and I can't stop going to the bar. I can't stop rolling the blunt. You can be open and honest because you understand the damage that it's causing your life. And you say, hey, I'm bringing this to you because I want to be free. I want to help you. I want you to help me to take those steps. I want to bring it to you in faith and believing that God, through all of this, will bring forth healing. Matter of fact, we take this so seriously here at our church. That here's what I want you to do. It's very, very practical, man. If you're dealing with an addiction literally right now, substance, whatever it is, whatever it may be, here's what I want you personally to do. I literally want you to email us. And I'm going to give you this email address on the screen. care@thebridgechurchva.com. I want you to email us now, today. We are user-friendly, phone-friendly church. You can bust it out right now. I will not be offended. And email us. I struggle with this. And I've never had the guts to tell anybody until now. But I'm tired of going year after year battling with this addiction. I'm tired of going year after year wrestling with this struggle. I don't want to live my life as a prisoner anymore. I want to live my life as somebody who's free. You got to share your struggle. And here's the last practical thing that I would give you. Sell out to Jesus. Sell out to him. What do I mean by sell out to Jesus? Where you make up in your mind and say to yourself, I'm going all in with Jesus this year. I'm going to be at every single gathering that the Bridge Church has. Super Bowl parties. Connect groups. I'm coming to Saturday morning prayer. I'm going to be involved with everything. I'm going to be in my word every day. I'm going to be seeking God in prayer every day. I'm going to be open to the things of God every day. I'm submitting myself and presenting myself to Jesus. I'm going all in. I'm not going to give him just half of me. I'm giving all of myself to him. Here's what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. And I like what the Message translation says in the same scripture. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. God is not concerned with changing you from the outside in. He's concerned with changing you from the inside out. We can decorate addictions really well. There's people in your job right now that got an addiction, and they dress it up really, really well. There's people that you know right now that are battling some things. Some of us have been battling some things, and we've been dressing it up very well. And we've even thought that behavior modification was the solution, quickly to find out that it wasn't. No. When I bring myself to Jesus, heart, mind, body, and soul, he changes me. He transforms me from the inside out. I want you to know that for every addiction, there is the same solution, and that solution has a name, and his name is Jesus. I want to close with this. John 10:10, Jesus says this, I have come that they may have life, have it more abundantly. Right before that, he says this, the thief's purpose, Satan's purpose, is to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan wants to steal years off of your life through an addiction. He wants to destroy your relationships because of a struggle. He wants to rob you of the joy that Jesus wants you to experience because of the struggle. That's what he wants to do. But Jesus says, I've come to set you free so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. He says, it's not about just going to heaven and having a relationship with me in heaven. He says, no, I want you to begin to walk in freedom on earth as it is in heaven. Which means this, you can be free from the thing that you've been battling. Yes, I know you've been struggling. Yes, I know you've been dealing with it, but you can be free of that. And this is something that Jesus constantly pronounced throughout his 3 years of earthly ministry. And I read this scripture last week, and I'm going to read it again. I don't think we have it on the screen, but just follow along. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Good news. It's good news today. You can be free. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, freedom for people who are in bondage to an addiction, whatever your struggle is, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to set the oppressed free. Some of us have been oppressed for so long by your struggle and your addiction. Today he wants to set you free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is the year of the Lord's favor on your life. This is the year where that addiction can be broken. This is the year where that struggle can be broken. This is the year where that stronghold can be broken. Do you believe it? This is the year where that affliction can be broken. And Jesus says, I've come to break it. And the only thing that you got to do is receive me. And trust in me and believe in me. Follow my way and follow what I've given you. You will experience a path of freedom. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every single person right now who's dealing with an addiction, I pray, Father, for every word that we have heard, I pray most of all that they would know that they can experience freedom. That it doesn't matter what their addiction is. It doesn't matter what their struggle is. That today they can experience freedom, experience wholeness. Right now in this moment, here's what I want to do. There's two things. One, I want to give us an opportunity to respond to this message. But the first thing that I want to do is this. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you're not in a relationship with him, you have not received him by faith, you're ready to be free of this addiction that you've been battling, I want you to know that Jesus is the solution. It is only through him that you can experience freedom. And until you surrender to him, until you say yes to him, until you ask him to come into your life, you will never be free. But the good news is that right now, in this moment, you can ask him to come into your life. You can ask him to take residence in your heart and begin to experience the freedom that he has proclaimed over you. And so if this is you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want to receive Jesus. I want him to come into my life. I want to experience the freedom that he gives. If this is you, I want you to say these words. It's a prayer of confession. It's a prayer of commitment. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my addiction. I believe that you died for my sins, that you rose from the grave so that I could have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my master. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me in spite of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, it's an honest moment. If you're here today, while nobody's looking, I want you to be honest right now with God. I want you to be transparent before God right now. If you're here today and you're saying, this message not only is for me, but I find myself in this place right now battling and dealing with an addiction. And today, I want to begin to experience freedom. While nobody's looking, if you could do me a favor, could you be honest and just raise your hand if that's you? You're wrestling with an addiction. Amen. 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 Awesome. Awesome. And Father, for every hand that is lifted, every confession that is being uttered up right now, I pray, Lord, and believe in faith that you have not only heard their cry, but you have seen their heart. And I believe that today is the beginning of them experiencing freedom. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would begin to break the stronghold over their life. That you would begin to take away the desire for that thing. That you would begin to quench the thirst and the hunger for that thing. so that the only thing that they have a thirst and a hunger for is you, Jesus. For you said in your word that those who thirst and hunger for righteousness will be filled. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, for every issue, for every struggle, for every stronghold, for every family, whatever generational bondage that has been passed down from person to person and generation to generation, that today in Jesus' name they would experience freedom, that today in Jesus' name that they would experience liberation, that today in Jesus' name they would experience wholeness and healing in your name. For you said in your word that you've come to set the captives free, that you've come to proclaim freedom for those in bondage, that you've come to open up blinded eyes. And I believe in faith that that is exactly what is happening right now in the name of Jesus. So I pray that you will break addictions to alcohol. I pray that you will break addictions to porn. I pray that you will break addictions to substances, to lying, to hate, to anger, whatever it is that has a control over us. I pray in Jesus' name that you will break it. And I pray that today that we will begin to walk in a new place of freedom, that we will pray and that we will walk in a new place of healing and wholeness in Jesus' name, that we will not walk out of these doors the way that we came in, but whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we believe it in Jesus' name. We believe, Father, that if you were strong enough to raise Jesus from the grave on the third day, that if you were strong enough to give him all power, if you were strong enough to give him everything that he needed for life and godliness through all of his years in ministry to overcome the temptations, so that way through Christ we would be more than conquerors. We believe that if you were able to do that for him through the resurrection, we believe that today you are able to set us free, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. And we put our hands together because we believe it, and we open up our mouths this morning because we receive it in Jesus' name. And every person whom the Lord has set free, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. If you believe it, put your hands together. If you believe it, stand to your feet. If you believe it, open up your mouth. Come on. If you believe it, lift up your hands this morning. If you believe it, shout amen. Shout amen. If you believe it. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that this won't just be a temporary thing, but I pray, Father, that this will be a lifelong thing. And though we know that the enemy will come in like a flood, and he will come in and try to continuously tempt us and continually try to walk us back to a place of bondage, today we will say no. And today, God, we walk in power and we walk in victory, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, and if you believe in and receive it, say amen. Put your hands together. If you believe in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we prepare to close this moment, I want you to know something. We're going to get ready to worship God with our giving as we close service, so you can go ahead and get that in hand, whatever it is that you're prepared to give to God and to worship God with through our offering. But I want you to know that this